Desire your prayers this evening. Appreciate each one that has come out. We ask the Lord to bless us each one. I have a subject that I'd like for us to take a look at this evening. Trust in the Lord. When you hear just those three words, what comes to your mind? You know, a lot of times our mind will take off and it'll go out to that chance that there's this is cancer here now. This one's liable to take your life. It'll take us out to the point like Hezekiah was. I just got the news. Set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. You know what? Trust in the Lord starts so far back from that. For me to be prepared for the time when the news would come to me like it comes to Hezekiah. Okay, this is it. Set your house in order now. You know what? If I haven't learned to trust the Lord by then, it's almost too late. If I have not put it to practice in my life in a lot of other things besides just trusting Him for my body, it's almost too late. So I'd like to back up tonight for a while. And I'd like for us to look at where does trust begin? I think about for myself when I was it began for me when I was a baby. I learned soon that if I cried out, Mom's coming. She's going to take care of the needs that I have. I thought about the love of a mother. You know, we took it for granted. She's just going to be there every time I need her. Should I be sick at night? She's the one that's willing to rock me all night long when I was a child. Right there. Willingly sacrificed herself for her children. Willing to stay up all night, if necessary, for her children when they need her. And you've heard the stories. We had the big family, too. And should there be not quite enough, it was Mom that said, you know what, I think I've had enough. Y'all just go ahead and split it on up. The love of a mother. And you know, with her, seeing her, it started kind of helping me to see a parallel to God and His care for us. And how much easier it makes it for me to trust Him when I see the way my mother was and I could trust her. There is a song that we have in our songbook, and I'd like for you to sing this verse with me because it gives us that parallel. It's number 308. It says this, as a mother stills her child, thou canst touch the ocean wild. Boisterous waves, obey thy will. When thou sayest, to them be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, save. Your pilot me. As a mother stills her child. Think about Jesus when the storm was raging. And they say, don't you care that we perish? And all He had to do was speak to the storm. And it became calm. One of the things that is really important for me to be able to trust the Lord is to realize how dependent I am upon Him. Because if I'm not careful, I can go through my life and I can build a category of the things that I can take care of. And there are a few things that are out of my range and I need the Lord to take care of. I want to tell you, to really learn to trust the Lord for getting ready for that big one when it hits me out there, I need to back up to the point to realize I'm dependent on God for everything. I am dependent on Him tonight for the next breath that I breathe. You know, when I move too many things over into my category, I can take care of the good health. If I go out and exercise and walk in the mornings, I'll have good health, and that's something that I'm able to do. There is a part that we play in that, but there's a part even in that that is totally up to God for my next breath. That verse in Proverbs 3 and 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and there's a guarantee there. He will direct your paths. There's some things in there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How many times do I lean to my own understanding? I look at this and I can figure it out in this direction. For me to trust the Lord, I need to not lean to my own understanding. And in all of my ways, everything that I plan to do. I think about even to the point, and we take this for granted sometime, when I sit down before a meal and I say that quick prayer because that's what you always do before you start eating. Sometimes I take that for granted. You know, that needs to be a reminder to me that I am totally dependent upon God. First of all, if He hadn't blessed, I wouldn't have had the food to eat. There's a lot of countries that are starving to death for no food. And if in these things that I just take for granted, if I would go back to the point that I realize, you know what, that's over in my trust category. I'm really trusting the Lord for those things. I'm thanking Him that He has provided it. There is a verse over in Acts in the 17th verse. You remember when Paul came up on Mars Hill and he saw that inscription to the unknown God and he decided this is a time to preach a message to them. And in 17 and 25, he says he's neither worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. I need to remember that myself. He gives to everybody life, breath, and all things. And then the 28th verse says, for in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. If I would remember that, I would start realizing, you know what, I'm dependent on God for everything. I'm trusting Him for all of that. I move a lot of things out of the category that I can take care of. Because I tell you, even those things that I can take care of, I have good health today. I feel like that's my category. I can take care of that. You ever come down with the flu? It seems like it takes about 5 minutes to knock you out. It doesn't take any time to feel good. And by that afternoon, you don't hardly have the strength to get up out of bed. That's really who we are all the time. If God just would pull His hand back just a little bit, I would realize how much my need is before Him. So I start learning about trusting God by seeing the care of a mother and the care of Christ for me. There's another step. I've seen this before with parents and small children. I've seen a parent take a little child and stand them up on something that's pretty tall, then step back a couple steps and say, jump to me. Come on, jump to me. And you'll see that child, maybe they've never done it before. You can see fear in their eyes. Ah, can't do it. But that parent keeps reassuring them, come on, jump. I'll take care of you. I'll catch you. You ever watch that? That child finally decides, okay, I'm going for it. They jump, dad catches them and sets them back up there, and it doesn't take near as long the second time for them to do it. And after a few times, that child has become so confident that dad's going to be there that if you're not careful, somebody might speak to you over here on the side and you turn to talk to them, and that child's jumping because I know dad's going to catch me. I want to tell you, that's the same way with God. That we start taking some things that put fear in our heart, and we start realizing God's my Father, and He cares about those. Think about a song number 55. It says, one of those verses, this is talking about me starting to adjust myself to the will of God. It says, and now I have flung myself recklessly out like a chip on the stream of His infinite will. It's not just without reason I'm jumping out. No, I've learned I can trust in Him. I'm learning that I'm doing it in His will. Now, it also says, and I'm not quite here yet, it says, I pass the rough rocks. Now, this is the hard things that come in our life. It says, I pass the rough rocks with a smile and a shout, and I just let my God His dear purpose fulfill. Now that is, as I'm passing these difficulties, I'm just so happy. Smile and a shout. Well, I thought about, for my testimony, it'd be song number 126. I'll place my trembling hand in thine until the battle's o'er. But this is talking about me realizing there's God's will in some things that's happening around me. Another verse of that says, forever I'll choose the good will of my God. Do I always know what His will is? I want to tell you, I think we can find out real easy what His will is to the Christian. Those things that are coming into my life, And he says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He gives me the opportunity to tell him I would like for my circumstances to be changed. And then I do what Jesus did. When he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus' desire was that something would be done different, if possible. But then he ended it with, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This says, forever, I'm going to choose the good will of my God. When I have said, Lord, I'd like for it to go this way, and it's going different, I'm going to understand this is the will of God in my life right now. Until he makes a change in this, I will submit to it. There's another verse of a song that says, to thee my all resign. Oh, let thy will be mine. Lord, would you work with me until your will, your desire is my desire. He wants to do that. He wants that to happen with us. There's another step. It would be so easy for me to trust the Lord if he always gave me everything I wanted. And you know, we can pick up some verses. If you abide in me, just ask what you want. There will people will pick those up and say, you ought to be able to just ask for whatever you want and get it. When we start looking at what the will of God is for us, his will is that I not perish, but that I make it to heaven in the end. So he's willing to send some things in my life that are good for me that I don't see to be good today. Back to the childhood experience. Mom and Dad had things that they said you can't have them right now. I can remember sitting at the dinner table. I'm ready for dessert. Mom says you got to eat these vegetables before you get dessert. And she was nice enough about it that she didn't just whip me right then because I didn't do it. But I can remember the times of even, oh, I can't stand this. Hold my nose, you know, put some in my mouth to eat it, go through all this ritual. And she's got to set the timer. You got to have it gone in this many minutes. You know, I got to thinking as I thought about this, have I really changed since I'm adult? Things come in my life and I just don't like them to be this way. I want them to be changed. Forever I choose the good will of my Lord. To be realized, I'd like for this thing to change. I would like for this problem in my life to be gone. And yet as a Christian to realize, you know what? There's nothing going to happen in my life that God doesn't have control of. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. I'd wander far away, this is song number 111. I'd wander far away in darkness, and I would not reach that land of endless day. The very place that I want the most, the time when I come to the place that I hear what Hezekiah's going to hear, it's time now. You're going to be leaving out of here. I'd miss it if my way was the direction that I took. You ever been corrected by the Lord? That verse in Hebrews 12 and 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every one whom he receiveth. Back to my childhood experiences. I can remember more than once when the whipping is finished, them saying, I did it because I love you. And my legs are a-stinging, and I say, I don't feel the love. This is what this is talking about. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Because he's got a desire. There's some changes, Dan, if you want to make heaven your home. Going to have to make some changes, and I love you enough that I'm willing to chasten you. I'm willing to show you about those changes that need to be done in my life. No chastening for the present. That's on down in 12 and 11. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Right now, when the chastening is coming from the Lord, it does not seem joyous, but grievous. But if I will let it work the work that it needs to do in my life, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There's another area in Matthew 7 and 9 through 11. Talks about a father giving some good things to his children. Now that sounds pretty good. Ninth verse, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? What are in the good things category in your mind tonight? You know, in my mind, a good thing is health. Good health, that's a good thing right there. And a little stack of money would be good too, some wealth. That'd be a good thing. And nobody giving me any opposition, that's another good thing. There's a verse in Psalms 84 and 11 that backs up this good thing that he wants to give me. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Okay, so how do we balance that one out? Have you had only good things in your life? You listen sometimes on the radio and people talk about give your heart to the Lord and it's health and wealth and good things coming your way. Folks, the scripture tells us no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And then you take a look at some people. I look at Joseph. I believe that that verse applied to Joseph's life. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. How could that be said for Joseph's life? It's because God had a plan 13 years down the road. I want Joseph to be prepared for this time that I want to use him. And there's going to be some things I need to bring him through, some purging that I need to work with him on to where he's ready when that comes. And first of all, his brothers, those that should have cared for him the most, how would he have felt as he's put on that camel and heading farther from home and he sees the money change hands? And he knows now, this is no game. I'm gone. I may never be back. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, Joseph had 13 years to work with it. Because it just seems like he escapes out of that one and things start going along good for him again. He's at Potiphar's house and he's moving up. And then he's charged and off to prison he goes. You know, we can have things happen in our life that'll destroy us or prepare us for the time that God would have to use us. The time when the two men came to him and he told them their dreams. Well, it seemed like it's almost time for Joseph to get out now. And the one went back and forgot all about him. And a couple more years passed by. But somehow Joseph was able to go through all this. Human reasoning would be dangerous right now. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Joseph could have spent those 13 years saying, what does my dream have to do with all this? That dream I had that I was above my whole family, and now this is going on now. Instead, he was able to just commit that whole thing to the Lord, the dream, the past, the 13 years that I've lived now. You never see him have bitterness in his heart. There's a verse of a song, God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling. To see and know and understand. If Joseph would have said, I'm going to spend my time trying to figure this one out. How can it be that God gave me this dream? That's song number 111. How can it be God gave me this dream and now everything is going in reverse? And all of his energy been spent struggling to understand it. God's way is best, heart, cease thy struggling, to see and know and understand. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And then there's another verse that goes with that. It's in Psalms 119 and 71. It was a good thing that I had been afflicted. You know what? How can you ever tie that together? It was a good thing when trouble came into my life. You know what? At the end of it all, Joseph said it was a good thing that all this had happened. For us today, we want peace in our life. If I had the choice, peace is what I'd like to be able to have. Jesus said in John 14 and 27, "My peace I want to give to you." It's not like the kind that the world's going to give you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The kind of peace that Jesus will give is that right in the middle of the storm, you can have peace because it's all in His hands. We have a little motto hanging there at our house. It says, "Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of God." Right in the middle of the storm, if the Lord will be there with me, I can have peace. Have you been able to figure out this past week, God's in control of all things? And this last week in La Ronda, as the water starts coming up and the people start praying, was God not in control that He could have stopped the water? He could have stopped the water. How long do we need to sit down and try to figure out why God would destroy His own property and let people spend a whole lot of time putting it back together again? Don't have to spend any time with it. That place down there is committed to the Lord. The prayers went up just like Jesus did. If it be possible, we'd sure like for you to make a change in this. And He chose not to allow it to happen. I can sit back and say that is not right. You know what? People could turn their back on the Lord for some things like that. Just saying, I tell you what, if that's how the Lord takes care of His people, I don't want anything to do with it. Or I can say, you know what, Lord? The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This has caused people to band together to say, I tell you what, it's happened. It's over with. Let's clean it up, put it back together, and we'll worship the Lord in it next week if we can get it going. There are things that can happen in our life that we won't be able to understand. That verse in Proverbs 3 and 5 didn't tell us to understand it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding if you could understand it. But in all thy ways, just acknowledge the Lord's in control of all things. There's a song that I heard today. It said, "Oh, there's no one like Jesus to still life's seas and bring an unspeakable peace. It's a peace that's not depending on my troubles relenting, but all on His sweet love to me. This peace that I have has nothing to do with whether my troubles continue on into tomorrow or not, but it's because I have the consolation that the Lord cares for me and He's going to walk with me through this time." He allows storms to come into our life. My part is to trust His wisdom. I look at that again. Let's look at that in Mark 4 and 37 through 39. What would it have been if we would have been here when this happened? "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And Jesus, He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose, rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." You know, God's in control of the elements. He's in control of the storms that are going on around in our life. It'd be great for Him to speak and the storm quits completely and we have calm in our life. But greater yet is, while the storm continues on, that now I've got peace through the middle of it. There's another verse of a song I'd like for us to sing together. "Though the world all around be raging and is filled with many alarms, trust in Jesus and He
will keep you in the shelter of His arms. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging. In the shelter of His arms.
The storm's not over. Still going on. And there's peace right up in the middle of it. Think about that story of Joseph. What makes it so impressive? It was how he had peace right in the middle of his storms. 13 years of storms. You know, I remember David, when Samuel came by and anointed him king. You know, it was years before he sat on the throne. In fact, David, when he went to play for King Saul, David was anointed the king. He could have easily said, Saul, I know what your problem is. You're all tormented in your mind. You're sitting in my chair. God has told me I'm going to be the king. And the quicker you get out of it, probably the better off it's going to be for you. David didn't do it. David just committed all that in the Lord's hands. When he's being chased by Saul for all that time, he committed it in the Lord's hands. Just let him work with him as he saw best. There is peace right in the middle of a storm. And take a look at Joseph when this is finished up. When he now sees his brothers. I want to tell you, if there's anything down inside that wants to well up and say, okay, this is my time to even up the score. To me, these verses show me there's nothing there. If there is anything that ever presented itself from the devil to Joseph, he got rid of it. Because look at this. In the 45th chapter of Genesis, he now is going to tell who he is to his brothers. And it says in the 5th verse, because they are shocked when he says, I'm Joseph, the one that you sold into slavery. And 5th verse says, now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. What an attitude. 13 years of my life has been lost because of what y'all did. And he says, don't be angry with yourselves. And he goes on down, 7th verse, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity. He could have said, I tell you what, y'all give me so much trouble, I don't even want you down here around me. God did this to save your lives at a great deliverance. 8th verse, so now it was not you that sent me hither, it was God. And he made me a father to Pharaoh. It wasn't you that did it. It was God. You know, if I could have that attitude toward people in my life that do me wrong, and I can easily, in this book in my mind, I remember their name, I remember the date that they did it, I can even tell why they did it. I add to that book in the memory of my mind. Instead, look at this one. What he had there was all those things that were done got blotted out behind this. No, it wasn't that person. It was God that did it. You remember when Job, one thing after another in one day's time was taken from him. And when the servants came to Job, they had a name of the people that did this. It's the Chaldeans that did this, that took this. It's this other group of people. The Sabaeans came and stole this group of your animals. Did when the Lord, when Job went to the Lord with his prayer, did he say, Lord, I tell you what, go get those Sabaeans, go get those Chaldeans? No. He said, it's the Lord that gave. It's the Lord that hath taken away. I put all this thing in the hands of the Lord. It's not that person out there that did me wrong. God has allowed this to happen in my life. And it said, in all this, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. There's another verse of a song. Says he will keep you. You know, we'd like for the Lord to deliver us from the battle to where we're completely out of it. This says he will keep you from the fire when it becomes a furnace. He'll keep you through the waters when they become a flood. He would not make what he could not keep. He did not start what he can't complete. What he does not keep you from, he will keep you through it. And what I remember with that is, I'd like to go to Daniel in the 3rd chapter. What he doesn't deliver me from, it's because he's got the power to take me through it. What would it have been like for us to be one of those 3 Hebrew children standing in front of this idol, and the command has been given? The furnace is already burning because he said he made it 7 times hotter. Somehow he must have expected there's going to be some resistance out here. That's amazing, because none of his people gave resistance. But whenever he comes down to where it's time to give him, he's going to give him another answer. 14th verse of the 3rd chapter of Daniel, he's speaking to him. Is it true? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now he's going to give him another chance here. Now if you be ready at what time you hear all this music, it says, but down in that same verse, but if you worship not, you should be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? These 3 have an opportunity right now. He's going to give you another chance. If you want to make a change, here's the fire. And who's the God that's going to deliver you? I love that answer. Because what he does not keep us from, he'll take us through it. They say to him, almost like they're answering him back, you know, you're really wasting your time to give us another chance. 16th verse, it says, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. And these next verses tell me something about the Christian. When I take my hands off and forever I choose the good will of my God, then just whichever way he does it, I'm a winner. Because look at how they gave it out. They could have said, I want to tell you something, I'm never even going to touch that fire. I'm not even going into it. They didn't put it one way or another. Here's how they worded it. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. So if he wants to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, that's one option. Now he's going to deliver us out of your hand, O king. We're going to be delivered one way or another here in just a little bit. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not worship thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. My mind's been made up, and I choose God's will for my life. O king, he's got the power to keep it to where I don't even have to go in the fire. He's got the power to deliver me from the fire. But I tell you what, one thing for sure, either way it happens, I'm going to be delivered out of the king's hands here in a little bit. For us, last week God was well able to protect LaRonja. He was well able when they started praying and said, Lord, the water's up to this level, would you please stop it? Oh, he could have stopped the rain. He could look what he did to the Jordan River. Had it stand up on a wall there. He's got that same power today. What he does not take us through, what he does not keep us from, he'll take us through. People will band together and say, okay, Lord, we're going to take care of this. We'll put it back together and we'll be worshiping you again soon. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'd like to go to another verse in Philippians, 4th chapter. And in the 6th verse. Be careful for nothing. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that's why we had mentioned where we get the opportunity to tell the Lord, here's how I would like to be able to have it. But then it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, it'll keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. He didn't say, because you have let your request be made known, he's going to do it exactly like you said. But he said, I tell you what, I'm going to have some peace. After you've made that request, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Because to a lot of folks, the peace of God will come to me when my prayer has been answered and I've got what I wanted. The peace of God that passeth all understanding is when it does not go the way I wanted, but I still say, Lord, you're in it. I want to have that in my life. In the book of Job, is it just a good story? It's in the Old Testament. Could it be possible that that story is ever replayed in our lives today? I thought about that. When the Satan came to God and said, God says, have you considered my servant Job? I've often wondered about this after that. Did God say after that, I tell you what, that was way too risky. I'll never take another servant of mine and put him in that place again. Is it possible that today the Lord would say to a servant, I'll tell you what, I've got this servant here. He's living for me. He's determined to live for me. Have you noticed him? You know, Satan didn't say, I don't know who you're talking about. Satan knew him. Satan knew the desire he had to live for him. And Satan had an opinion about why he was doing it. He said, you've made a hedge around him. You've blessed everything that he's got. Well, sure, he's going to live for you. Tell you what, first thing I need is if you'll take the hedge down where I could work on him a little bit. There's a consolation right there. Nothing's going to happen to the Christian but that God backs off and says, okay, I'll give you some room. And even in those, God said, okay, you can go this far, but you cannot go farther. He told him there, you can take his personal things in the first chapter of Job, but he said against him, against his body, you can't touch him. And the devil could not go to that level. In fact, when Job did so well at that round, and Satan came back the next time, and the Lord tells him, said, have you considered him? Even though all these things went against him, he still serves me. In all this, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. What was the answer that Satan had? I'll tell you what. Temporal things are only so valuable to people. But skin for skin, everything a man hath will he give for his life. I'll tell you what, you touch his body and he'll curse you to your face. That was how Satan saw it. I was thinking about Jesus. He said, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. He has the power. It has nothing to do with he does not have the power to heal. It's just that eternity is out ahead for each of us. You know, by the time that Job went through that affliction for a while, he had some adjustments that needed to be made for him. You remember when he said, I tell you what, if I could get me an audience with the Lord, I got some things I'd like to talk to him about. And the Lord came on down toward the end of this book of Job, and he said, okay, let's talk now. Gird up your loins, stand up like a man. I got some questions to ask you. And the very first question he asked me, Job, where were you when I created all this? And you know this can happen to us. We go through our trial, we start out real good the first day. I could do real good with a sickness if it'll last for 24 hours, and then I'm back on my feet and back at work. You know, Job's, I don't know how long that lasted, except that it lasted about 40 chapters. It went for a while, and God started working with Job. Where were you when I did all these things? Well, Jesus says, all power is given to me. He could have kept the three Hebrew children from ever even going into the fire. I love reading the stories in the faith chapter that this one and this one and this one was delivered. Daniel, he went into the lion's den and was delivered. But you continue reading, it says there were others that had the same kind of faith that Daniel had, and God chose to allow them to go through persecution and death. John the Baptist, for his head to be removed from him. You know what? Jesus had the power to have released him from the prison and he never have to even lose his head, but he allowed it to happen. For me to put myself in God's hands and allow him to do what he wants to with me. I was thinking today, it was not that many months ago that Sister Karen LaCroix was here. You know what? She had a desire. She prayed with many others. Lord, I'd like to be healed. Got grandchildren growing up. I got all these things ahead for me. I'd like to be healed. You know what? We don't have to go back to the Old Testament to find people that put their hand in the Lord's and said, you can do what you want to with me. And you know what? We don't have to go back to Job to see people that did in all this, they sin not, nor did they charge God foolishly. That one that says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. She let her request be made known to God, and many others prayed with her. Was it a failure when the Lord took her? I thought about this. I'll tell you what, if she could be back here with us tonight, free from any risk of Satan trapping her here in this life and her being lost in the end, she's won her crown. Been there for about 2 years now. On her way to forever with the Lord. We cannot imagine what it would be like. We read about it. We dream about it. Making heaven our home. And it's for eternity. It'll never end. I thought about one song for her. It was a song that she liked. And it said this. I'm a winner. Either way, if I go or if I stay, for I'll have my Jesus with me each passing day. I'll have my healing here below or life eternal if I go. So praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. You know what you can't lose when you're walking with the Lord? Another verse of that song says, none of us really knows about tomorrow. We've got to prepare to go to heaven any day. But while we're here, let's trust the Lord, because He'll lead us to our reward. And by His grace, we're going to be a winner either way. When I come to the place that I can tell the Lord, to Thee my all resign. Lord, I want Your will to be mine. I want to put my hand in Yours. God never intended for trust to be punishment for the Christian. It was for me to learn that He's just like my mother was. He cares so much about me. And when it seems to be different, I know He still cares. When it seems like there is, I'm getting a whipping now, I've got to remember eternity's out ahead. And He has said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. So I need Him to purge from me anything that would stand in the way. Because you know, when it came to Hezekiah, set your house in order. Except the Lord would have turned that around, Hezekiah didn't have much time left to be able to do it. I like the story of Hezekiah there. It didn't say he was upset at God for saying it. He said, Lord, You know how I've been living. Turned his face to the wall and he wept. Had a desire to live longer, but he was willing to go. He could have had to say, Lord, hang on a while. I've got so many things I have built up in my life that I've got to correct. When you say, get your house in order, Lord, I've got a lot of things to take care of. Folks, it's going to be so great to live my life to where as God deals with me, I make those adjustments. For when that call comes, because it may not be the call that has any minutes attached to it, there are many people that will breathe one breath and they're gone with the next. There's one song, a verse, that I'd like for us to close with. Because you know, at the end of it all, I have a decision to make. Really, it's not just one decision. It's going to be a decision daily that I make. God's way is best, heart cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. You know what, I'm going to have to do that tomorrow and the next day. To where I don't have to understand about LaRonja. Lord, all that's in Your hands. I love it for the times when You answer prayer and we see it so greatly. I remember a few years ago, Doug and Lanita were living in Honduras and the call came back. It's hurricane season. And there's a hurricane headed for Honduras. Well, Honduras, that area is just like a little piece of land out in the ocean. It's not like you've got miles and miles that you can get away from it. That Roatan is just like an island. And I remember Doug and Lanita putting in the call to the saints, pray. This thing is headed, and we could hear it on the news there in the United States. Hear it on the news. This thing is headed for Honduras. Saints all went to praying. We'd love for everything to end the way this one does. And then even in the news, we were able to hear just before it did, it didn't. It veered off and it went around this little island. And they were able to explain, scientists can explain how it did it. The ocean temperatures, when they change this much, it causes weather to change this much, and it veered it off. Folks, there's a great God in heaven. And in myself, I'd love for every one of the stories to end this way, to where I could go out and invite people to church and say, I tell you what, if you will just join up to this, all you got to do is tell the Lord how you want it, when you want it, and how much of it you want, and He'll do it for you. And it would pack the benches, and we'd all be lost in the end. Because the Lord's got a job ahead of Him to perfect us, to be ready. Attitudes that I don't even understand that I've got. And He's wanting to take time to deal with me to make some adjustments with it. But as we end this, I've got a choice to make. It's my decision. And this verse, I would like to be my testimony, my prayer. God's way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to Thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me and safe to glory bring my soul. God's way is best, I will not murmur. Although the end I may not see, where